What's up, guys? Welcome to the very first episode of the Black Cat Podcast. This is going to be a brand new talkback-style show for blackcatreport.com, dedicated 100% to the Panthers and the NRL. This show should hopefully give you guys, the fans, a pretty good platform to have your voices and opinions heard about the team. I'm going to be doing that by using the hashtag BlackCatPod on Twitter. So with any questions or thoughts that you guys have got about the team or the podcast or even stuff that's going on the blog, just send through a tweet to the hashtag BlackCatPod and I'll make sure that I address whatever you guys have got to say in the following episodes. So a little bit about myself. My name's Sam Patching. I'm a lifelong Panthers fan that obviously has very little else to be doing with my spare time other than talking about the Panthers, writing about the Panthers. And yeah, I guess that's why I started this podcast to get my voice out there, as well as all the stuff that I'm writing on the website. And yeah, I think it'll be a really cool chance for you guys to also have your voices heard and just be talking Panthers all the time, because life's too serious if you're not talking about footy, and that's exactly what I like to do. So I might start this episode off just by talking a little bit about the off-season that the Panthers had. After what was a pretty amazing 2014 season, the Panthers haven't exactly gone all out in acquiring new talent in the free agent market of the NRL. They've actually focused a little more on retention of current players, the up-and-comers that we've been developing over the last couple of years. And I think that's definitely the best way to go with moving into the future with this new team. We want to make sure that all these young guys that we're bringing through and developing are staying in our system, and we're not just becoming a farm program for other clubs like the Roosters and Souths, Bulldogs, all those big clubs where they can come in and basically just take away the young guys that we develop and turn them into stars. And I think the way that Phil Gould's rebuilt this team is exactly the way that a team like Penrith should be built. We've got one of the strongest junior systems in the country, and now that we've got the actual flexibility to be retaining all of those young players coming through, I think we'll start to really see some long-term benefits in the next few years. And we started that off by extending a bunch of players. I'm just going to rattle off some names just so we know exactly who it is that the Panthers have spent their money on this year. We've got Matt Moylan, Josh Mansour, Dean Farrey, Sam McKendry, Jeremy Lattimore, Bryce Cartwright, George Jennings, and Sam Anderson. So those guys have all been extended to new deals. Some of them only for another season, but we've got guys like Matt Moylan locked up for, I think it's 3 more years, as well as Dean Vare. Josh Mansour, who I'm sure most of you guys would all remember, he was in some pretty serious talks with Canberra. I think he actually even went down there to visit with their staff and talk negotiations, but he has extended to stay with the Panthers for another 2 seasons. Sam McKendry, for some reason, is locked up all the way through to 2019, which seems like a pretty crazy move to be doing with a big guy with neck problems or who had neck surgery or whatever it was. But yeah, Sam McKendry is obviously someone that they feel will be a big part of the team moving forward, and I'm not disappointed in that at all. He's a New Zealand international. He's a talented young player, and hopefully he'll only get better and be a key cog for the team moving forward. And then, yeah, you've got your young guys like Bryce Cartwright and George Jennings, who both look like they've got potential to be representative players, especially Bryce Cartwright, who looks like he can pretty well play any position on the field. And he actually did do that a fair bit for the Panthers last season by stepping in to replace the injured Peter Wallace and Tyrone Peachy in the 5'8 role, only to then break his own leg playing that position. And he looks like he's going to be the real deal for this team. And now that he's getting back to full health, hopefully we'll start to see all the potential that people have been talking about with Bryce, and what we saw out of him in the Holden Cup over the last couple of years as well should surely start to see the benefits of that in the first grade squad this season coming. So I might also just talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that's been going on in the off-season. Nothing major to report. We did have Jamal Idris in a nightclub incident. I don't know if that would be of any interest to anybody, but he basically, it sounded like it was nothing. He was in a club in Club Foster. He got into a verbal, whatever you want to call it, with a bunch of other patrons there. And I think before it actually turned into anything too serious, they broke it up and Jamal got kicked out of the club. And because, of course, he's Jamal Idris and people seem to like talking about Jamal Idris, it ended up in the news, but it didn't sound like anything. And even the Panthers club themselves have made a statement about it, saying that they're not too concerned about it and they've had a word with Jamal and he doesn't seem like he has anything to answer for. And that's what we want to hear, because as long as he's not doing stuff like Todd Carney was doing in his nightclubs and all that sort of stuff, I really don't care. But yeah, it has been in the news and probably is worth mentioning just to clarify that we do understand that something has happened and no one seems to think anything too serious of it. And that's, seems like we can just move on from it and not have to worry about it at all. Something else that's been going on actually is so one guy we did bring in the off season was Apisai Korosau, who played for South Sydney last year. He was actually in the grand final due to Isaac Luke's suspension, which I'm sure most of you guys would all remember. But yeah, he stepped in and played in that grand final, played a pretty solid game, and they obviously won. And he's now coming to the Panthers. He was a mid-season acquisition for us last year. And it's quite funny. I remember seeing on Twitter that James Seguiaro, like early in the season, had been tweeting stuff about Api Korosau looking like he was going to be a genuine star of the future in rugby league. And only a couple of weeks later, the Panthers announced that they've actually signed the guy, and he obviously plays the same position as Chico. And I thought it was quite funny to see that a guy that James was basically giving praise on Twitter for looking like he would be like an absolute superstar in the NRL is now going to be the guy that's going to be chasing Chico down for his starting number 9 jersey in the training camps coming up. And yeah, it's quite an interesting story. And yeah, Ivan Cleary did in the last couple of days, might have been earlier last week, but he did comment on Apisai coming to the Panthers and saying that he didn't want him to be content with playing reserve grade or coming off the bench or whatever. He wanted him to be going hard for Seguiaro in the training camps and really try and steal that number 9 spot off him, which probably is more than anything, just trying to light a fire under the two guys and make sure Seguiaro isn't getting content with his position in the club, and also making sure that Apisai is developing. He's not just going to disappear into reserve grade and never make anything for himself in the first grade squad. Ivan obviously wants him to actually really be on that same sort of level as Seguiaro, so we could potentially have a really dynamic force coming off the bench. Or if we have, touch wood, no injuries to Seguiaro, but if something like that does happen, we have we've got some really strong cover for a guy who did win the Dally M's Hooker of the Year. And yeah, I think it'll be a really interesting scenario for the team, where they've got two guys who are definitely both starter quality number 9 players, and to think that we've got two of those guys competing for one spot, it's quite an interesting thing. I don't think there'll be anything negative to come from it. I think Seguiaro knows that it is his spot, and he's got some healthy competition in Korosau, who's just going to be there to push him through training and make sure that Seguiaro is staying at the top of his game, because I'm sure Ivan sees Seguiaro as someone that will be with the club for a long time, and hopefully someone that can help lead us to premierships for years to come. So what else is going on? Jamie Soward still doesn't give a crap what people think about him. It's funny, I actually, for as long as I've known Jamie Soward to be a Panthers player, I thought the whole narrative with him was that he didn't care what people thought of him. But funnily enough, there was actually an article in Fox Sports last week about Jamie Soward and how he was going to be not paying any attention to his critics and just focusing on his football this season. And it's weird, I thought that was exactly what Jamie Soward had said all along when he came to Penrith, but apparently there's still reporters out there that feel the need to ask him what he thinks of the people, the naysayers, the guys that don't think he's all that we Panther fans seem to think he is. And for some reason, yeah, he's still got to answer to those sorts of questions, and I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I'm actually glad something did come of Jamie Soward in the off-season, because I wanted to make sure that in the first show I did touch on him, because I absolutely love the guy, and I wanted to make sure I got that on record at the very start of the series of the new podcast for Black Cat Report. And yeah, Jamie Soward is one of those guys that I think supporting the Panthers would be very dull without a character like Jamie Soward on it. And it's so good to have him. He's such a passionate guy on the field. It sends chills down my spine every time I watch the guy run out onto the field and say his prayers and jump and scream and all that stuff that he does before the games. I just love to see it. It's great to see someone putting on our Panthers jersey and just wearing it with so much passion and pride. And it's something that you probably do take for granted as a fan, because we might not realize this all the time, but there are guys out there that do pretty well just run onto the field and play the game for the paycheck. They're not out there trying to actually they're not out there just playing with that raw passion that guys like Soward, play with. And it's really great to have a guy like that on our team. And just what he did to the Roosters at the end of the season alone is enough for me to want to name all my children Jamie. Just he's just an unbelievable guy, and he really deserved to have the kind of year that he had. And yeah, I'm stoked that he's a Panther, and I'm stoked that I get to call him one of our star players. And then you look at all the other stuff he's doing off the field. Like, he's such an interesting guy. There's never a dull moment when you're following Jamie Soward. Even late last year, I remember reading an article in, I think it was the Daily Telegraph, where they were just talking about the OCD world of Jamie Soward and all the weird pre-match superstitions he has, where he's got to strap his left ankle first and then put his right boot on first and then all that sort of weird stuff that he's doing. And yeah, he's a real interesting character, and he makes covering the Panthers really like a real treat, because I think you could probably quite easily have a blog just writing about Jamie Soward. He's that much of an interesting guy. He does that much interesting stuff off the field. Just a few highlights that come to my head were that behind the back flick pass he made to Kevin Nagama in that, I think it was that Monday night game against the Broncos, where it was right on the halftime bell and Jamie made a break down the sideline. I'm not sure if it was an intercept, but he did something, and he ended up with a pretty much a sprint to the sideline, to the try line, like down the sideline. And he had Kevin Nagama on his outside, and he sort of cut back in and flicked the ball behind his back to Nagama, who ended up scoring, and just stuff like that. That's just awesome to see. And then, yeah, you've got obviously that field goal in the Roosters game, which is probably one of the top five Panthers moments I can recall in my lifetime. To give you guys a bit of context, I was born in 1991, obviously the year we won our first premiership, and I honestly haven't, last season might have been one of the more exciting years I've had in following the team. Obviously, we had the 2003 premiership, which was really cool, but I was only 12 years old, and as a 12-year-old, you might not quite appreciate the magnitude of watching a team sort of emerge from nowhere to then becoming an NRL premiership team. It was something I might have taken for granted, and kind of wish it had happened a few years later when I was a little older and sort of realized how hard it was to actually get to that point, because up until I was 12 years old and the Panthers weren't great, I probably never even realized how bad the Panthers were and how much of a struggle it was to get to that point. And now that we've got guys like Jamie Soward on the team and young Matt Moyle and all those guys that are able to make us see the light at the end of the tunnel and make us realize that not only are we going to be a contending team for years to come, but we're going to be a really fun team to watch as well. And I want to make sure that not only myself, but all of you guys as well are really appreciating what we're getting right now out of this team, because it's something it's been a long time coming, really. Like, we had that one season, I think it was 2010, where we did finish second. We finished second at the end of the regular season, but we sort of stumbled into that and then lost our first two games in the finals. And that's the most success we've had really in the last decade. And yeah, it's really great to be back near the top of the mountain again and sort of fighting for those premiership spots. And yeah, I think Jamie Soward's a huge part of that. And I wanted to go on the record to say that I'm 100% in that guy's corner. And as long as he's putting the Panthers jersey on, I'm going to be supporting him 100%, because he's the epitome of everything I'd want in a star player for this team. And I wouldn't even be surprised if those captaincy spots are up for grabs between Jamie, Pete and Brent. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Jamie did end up getting one of those spots, because later in the season, we really seemed to hit our stride when, not that it had anything to do with Peter getting injured, but when Jamie Soward was handed the team and said, Jamie, this is your team now, you need to take over and you need to take control of everything that's going on the field. We seemed to really, that's when we really started to surprise people and hit a stride that I don't think many people thought we could. Like, I was pretty certain once Pete went down in that Sharks game over in Bathurst, I was pretty certain that Jamie was going to really struggle carrying a team on his own with inexperienced guys playing in the halves with him. But that wasn't the case at all. He elevated his game to a level we really haven't seen from him since he was an Origin player and since he was winning premierships with the Dragons. And to know that we've got that kind of Jamie, Jamie still has that capacity in his game to be a to be an elite level. Like by the end of the season, Jamie was pretty well one of the top players in the NRL. And I think he really took the captaincy in his stride when he was sort of put in that position at the end of the year. And I wouldn't be surprised if Ivan decided to start this year off that he wanted Jamie to feel that same sense of ownership over the club and really make that captaincy his own once again. And yeah, I'm really excited to see what Jamie Soward's got in store for us in 2015, because I know he's got a lot of real loyal followers on Twitter, maybe more than anyone else. And I think that might be because he is such a polarizing figure, and he does cop so much hate around the league, especially from old Dragons supporters and even other guys that just hate Jamie Soward. There's a lot of them out there, and it seems like Jamie's one of those guys that he really does need the support of his fan base, and he has a really great fan base. I've seen there's so many people on Twitter as well that just absolutely love the guy and are constantly giving him support, and it's really cool to see that, because he's someone that I remember after that Roosters game, actually, I was just waiting outside the sheds at Allianz Stadium just to give the guy a bear hug just for everything that he'd done for us this season, especially beating the Roosters, who I can't think of a team in any sport that I dislike more than the Roosters, maybe Manly, but man, that Roosters win was just so awesome, and Jamie Soward played such a huge part in it. And yeah, it was quite funny just to think of. I was actually talking to someone after the game who is a Roosters fan, and it seemed like, so he was after that crazy Dallin Watine Zalesniak flick pass to Dean Vare for the try, and Soward had that sideline conversion to, I think it was to tie the game. He was right in front of the chook pen, the Roosters like supporters section, and the entire chook pen was chanting "Soward's a wanker" in unison. Sorry for the language, but yeah, the entire crowd was chanting that at Soward the entire time he was teeing up that kick. And it might have a big part to do with why after he kicked it, he sprinted down the field and absolutely just, you could see him just screaming his lungs out with excitement and just passion. And you see stuff like that, and it sends chills down your spine, just seeing a guy that can play the game with that much passion. And then 2 minutes later to see him come down and kick that field goal to win the game. And yeah, the reaction to that, like I know a lot of people were criticizing us a bit for maybe getting a little too carried away with that win. But I think in the moment, in a game where pretty well everyone had already kind of pretty well accepted that we were probably done. We were down by 6 points with not long to go. James Maloney missed the field goal, which ultimately ended up saving us, but we'd pretty well accepted our fates. And then even when they allowed that try, I thought there's still so much that has to happen. Jamie Soward has to kick a sideline conversion, and there was so much that had to happen, but it did happen, and we got to enjoy it. And it was probably one of the better wins of, for as long as I can remember being a Panthers fan, that was one of the more exciting wins I've been a part of. And yeah, right up there with the 2003 grand final. And yeah, it was a really great night for the Panthers, and especially Jamie Soward to have like that climatic finish to a game where he deserved a night that was just his, and people could give him the praise that I think he deserved for having a terrific season. And I can't wait to see what he's going to do next year. There's just one more thing I wanted to get to before I finish up this first episode of the new podcast, and that is the Chinese New Year, in particular the Year of the Goat. I'm not sure how many of you guys have heard about this, but the way the Chinese New Year works is there's 12 zodiac symbols which basically cycle through, obviously, a 12-year period. And everything that's happened in the Panthers' history that's been significant has happened during one of these years of the goat. So we had in 1967 the Panthers first entering the Australian Rugby League, I guess it was at the time. 24 years later, the Panthers winning their very first premiership, which was obviously 1991. 12 years later was 2003 when the Panthers won the second premiership, and we're now back to 2015, which is it seems like a very coincidental thing, but at the same time, it's lined up quite well with everything that's happened in the Panthers' history. And to think that the Panthers would win a premiership in 2015 definitely isn't a crazy thing to ponder. Like, had we heard the same thing coming into the 2012 or 2013 season, it probably would have seemed a little crazy at the time. But 2015 does seem like it could be our year, and I've said it for quite some time when I first sort of started seeing what Phil Gould was doing with the team and the way he was structuring it. I could see that he was sort of building us for a run, maybe in 3 or 4 years' time. And we're sort of getting to that point now where I think we are in year three of what everyone was calling the five-year plan. But with the acquisitions we made last year in bringing in Soward, Idris, Wallace, Kite, you could see that there was actually going to be a more short-term approach to winning rather than thinking in 5 years' time we'll be a contender. And we actually, I don't think there's any doubting the fact that the Panthers are a contending team going into the 2015 season. And if there's any extra karmas that can help lend us a favor in getting over the top this season, I'm more than happy to listen to them. Obviously a big coincidence, but it is a fairly interesting thing that's happened. And I actually came across an article that Mark Geyer had written about the Panthers heading into the 2003 grand final and using the year of the goat as a bit of historical significance in why 2003 was going to be our year. And here we are 12 years later. Obviously 2003 did eventuate into a premiership, and we're 2015 now, and the Panthers are looking like we could be right up there with the real heavyweights of the 2015 competition, and the year of the goat might once again prevail for the Panthers. And yeah, fingers crossed. So thanks heaps to all you Panthers diehards for checking out the very first episode of the Black Cat podcast. I really do appreciate you guys taking your time to have a listen to the show. And please let me know what you think on Twitter using the hashtag BlackCatPod. Just to give you a bit of a heads up with what I'll be doing over the next 2 months leading up to the season, I do plan on doing a weekly show all the way through, basically covering all the other 15 teams around the league and previewing, yeah, what to expect out of those guys coming into the 2015 season, which I do really strongly feel will be a real big one for the Panthers. And I just can't wait to get stuck into that. I can't wait to see what you guys have to say about the show. I want to hear all your questions, all your thoughts using the hashtag BlackCatPod on Twitter. And yeah, I think this is going to be a really exciting year for all of us. And I want all of you guys to be a part of the website, be a part of the podcast, and just, yeah, we'll all get together on a weekly basis and just talk Panthers for 30 minutes, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks again for checking out the first episode of the show, and we'll talk real soon. Go the mighty Panthers. Tomorrow you'll be sore, but the only thing that's on your mind is you're close enough to score.